Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where we grow through the past and the present through heart-to-heart conversations. I'm Julio Fajardo, your host, and today I'm honored to sit down with my own dad, also Julio, to hear his stories and wisdom. He opens up about what his childhood was like, the challenges of moving to America without even knowing the language, and the risk he took that shaped the success he has today. So sit back, turn up your volume, and join me for this unforgettable conversation. Dad, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing great, man. Now I'm a little nervous that you're going to be interviewing me for the first time.
Yeah, I am too. We'll start with an easy one then. If you had to pick one memory from your childhood, what would it be?
I've always been a sports fan. And so it would be my playing days as a kid in organized baseball. I enjoyed my baseball at that time when I was a kid, and that was my happy place, playing baseball, talking baseball, doing baseball. So,
after asking him the first question, I followed up by asking him if he remembers any specific moment or game from baseball that really stuck with him, and this was his response.
In the All-Star game, yeah, I made an amazing catch playing right fielder, and I saved a run, and it was a big deal. All the parents were screaming in a very positive way about how amazing the play was. So that was a fun memory from my playing days baseball.
I then asked him what his family was like growing up. To share a bit of his backstory, like me, he's the oldest child, and he often jokingly calls himself the guinea pig of the family, the one who had to figure everything out first. Now he will introduce his family and where he grew up.
I have, very similar to you, I have a brother, Felix, and a sister, Victoria. We grew up in Honduras, although we are from Nicaragua, because of political instability in our country. So my mom and dad, I think, are getting close this year to 50 years of marriage. So
that's crazy. Wow.
My mom never worked, took care of us, and my dad was the provider. So it's a little different than nowadays.
Hearing about his family and where he grew up really made me curious if he looked up to anyone. So I asked him if he had a role model growing up, someone who really influenced the way he saw the world or wanted to be when he grew up.
Nowadays, you know, I'll answer more nowadays, right? You know, as you know too, Julio, your relationship with your father, you know, has its ups, has its downs, has its middle points. But in the end, I look up to my father in the sense that he was selfless in his approach, always putting us first, always sacrificing, and wanting the best for us in the end. I understand now a little better what it is to be a father. Now the things that I didn't understood back then of why he did certain things, I now do. And he's the closest friend I have, meaning I talk to him daily. I see it now as a huge privilege that I get to this state of my life with him, and in the end, I'll leave with no regret.
After hearing about who inspired him, I wanted to know more about what he dreamed of becoming. So I asked him what his dream job whenever he was younger, and if he didn't end up following that path, why didn't he? This was his response.
Oh, wow. So my dream job at an early age, just because going back to my baseball days, I dreamed to being a sports broadcaster because of baseball. And but, you know, it looked to me more of a hobby than an actual college degree. And so that's why I ended up pursuing industrial engineering. I just didn't feel that being a broadcaster, I could make a career out of. Not sure if I was right or wrong. I'll never know, because I became an engineer. And, and that foundation has helped me now transition more into business rather than engineering.
After talking about his dreams and the path he ended up taking, I wanted to know if there's anything he looks back on and wishes he'd done differently. So I asked him if there was anything he regrets and when did it end up teaching him.
I used to be, meaning depending on the stage of your life, you're going to come across regrets, right? It could be simple as a grade. It could be a disappointment in a relationship. It could be a job. It could be a bunch of things. But one of the things I've learned over the years is those regrets tend to be mistakes. And so what I've turned to is that they have prepared me today for the person I am. And I no longer live in the past. I don't live in the future. I live in the now. At 47 years old, I've learned that, you know, regrets are more opportunities to learn rather than opportunities to dwell on something that unfortunately already happened. So I live in the now, and I take those as a learning opportunities rather than beating myself.
After hearing about what he might have done differently, I wanted to shift the focus to what decisions he actually made, the choices that truly shaped his life. So I asked him, what's one decision he made that completely changed the course of his life?
Meaning you can go come up with a bunch of them, but one that come to mind was my parents investing in my education in the U.S.
Yeah.
I attended Texas A&M University, and that led to me staying here to what I thought a couple of years, just gaining experience. And fast forward 26 years later, I have a family of three kids and have established myself in the U.S. So that was a life-changing, I don't know if it was decision, because it was something that my parents helped me in the process, but that was I call it a life-changing event for the better. So me staying in the United States of America, pursuing higher education, and then ultimately professionally being linked to multiple opportunities. And the most important part is that in that process, I have three beautiful kids to show up for. So that would be a long-winded answer, but it would be me getting education in the U.S. It definitely has opened a lot of doors for me.
After hearing about the decisions that shaped his life, I wanted to go back to one of the biggest ones, the moment he left everything behind. At just 16 years old, he moved to America without knowing the language, the culture, or what to expect. So I asked him, what was it like coming to the U.S. at 16, not knowing the language or much about the country at all?
It was frightening back then, but it was, again, going back, is it was the best thing that happened to me. It forced me to learn English at a faster pace. It forced me to get away from my comfort zone. And when you get away from your comfort zone, that's where the real growth is. So I wouldn't change it. Now I loved it. Back then I was a little fearful because of my language barrier, cultural barrier, but in the end, things have turned out very good, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
After hearing about his inspirational journey, I wanted to ask him how he defined success. Everyone has their own version of it. Now being 47, having spent over 30 years in America, I wanted to hear from him, so I asked him how he defines success after everything he's been through. You've been in the U.S. now for over 30 years, and you're 47 years old. Success is different in everyone's eyes, but how do you define success?
Now, again, success is going to vary depending on the season of life you're in. So success to me when I was in college was graduating with great grades, graduating with my degree in less than 4 years. Success was tied to goals for the most part. As you grow up in life, that definition, that goalpost continues to change. You keep chasing different things. At some point, when you start making money in your professional life, you might be defining success as money. And over time, you realize that, you know, that's not it. It's not all that. And so to me, as I transition where I am at 47 years old, success is feeling peaceful about my decisions, feeling peaceful about where I'm going, being a good role model to my kids. Those are the things that really fuel me and staying true to my values, being able to look myself in the mirror, not from a vanity perspective, but saying, I like the human being that I'm seeing. Am I being honest with myself? Am I living to my values? That to me is success. So am I raising good kids? Am I being, a good example? Those are the things that I look. And, you know, over time as well, one of the things that you continue to pray for is health. It's the one thing, you know, that we at times take for granted until we don't have it, right? So that's a starting point, being healthy, and then being good with the human being that you see, and knowing that we're constantly evolving. We're not staying in the same spot. So for me, the evolution, getting better, those are things that I strive for.
Now that we've talked about his definition of success, I wanted to know if there was a specific moment in his journey where he felt like he truly made it.
I wouldn't say there's one moment, right? There's multiple moments. It's like Steve Jobs says, it's about connecting the dots. And I've realized nowadays that I look back and I connect the dots. Yeah, I mean, there's so many professional moments that I had joy, like being the youngest director at a publicly traded oil and gas company. That was a big deal. Being selected for a program of 100,000 employees, having 30 of them being selected out of the entire company. I mean, those are little things that I remember professionally. But the biggest, you know, one of those transition moments, one of those aha moments for me is when I held for the first time my firstborn son, Julio. That's when I felt that I had truly made it. So when I was able to hold him for the first time and truly understand what unconditional love to me is a starting point. So, and Julio has been followed by Camilo and Lucia. So just a bunch of bundles of joy and give you purpose, give you direction, keep you grounded. So those are the things that I look for in the as I continue to transition through seasons of life.
When I heard his kind words, it truly meant a lot. And I was curious, so I asked him, how did raising three kids change him, not just as a father, but as a person?
Well, you're not living life just for you anymore. You know, your good deeds, your bad deeds, you now have to be accountable to those three souls that you brought to life, that hopefully you're leading them in a path where at some point they can be their own person. So I'm no longer living just for myself, just for my parents. I now have a responsibility, and it's been fun. At times it's difficult because you don't know what to do. But, that's in the end, you know, you have, it's a sense of responsibility that you being entrusted with these three different people. And, you know, the job that I can do is not make them be like I want them to be, but hopefully provide them with different experiences of life so they can find their own path.
You're doing great, Dad. I only have a couple more questions for you. Historical events. Do you remember where you were at or what you were doing in any historical events?
The one that comes to mind that I'll never forget was September 11, 2001, right? the World Trade Center. I had been there a couple of days before just as a tourist. But I was in a project in Philadelphia at that time. And so that it was a Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, or a Monday. I don't remember the exact day of the week, but I do remember that we were on a plane. I was heading to Pennsylvania, to Philadelphia specifically. And about 30 minutes into the flight, the pilot said, "I need everybody's attention. There has been a natural disaster in the New York City area, and we've been ordered to return to Houston." So we got grounded. Never forget that I was in the air. And then about, we flew back to Houston and got grounded. And from there, we all know what happened, unfortunately. And but that was something I'll never forget.
Hearing where he was during 9/11 really put things into perspective for me. It made me realize that moments like that stay with you because they remind us of how fragile our life is. So to wrap things up, I asked him one final question. What did he hope people remember him for?
Talking about legacy, huh? I think in action, right? Being a great father, number one, that's important to me. Good human being, I think everybody, in the end, that I took the right risks and I did not leave life afraid. Good friend, a person of service that wanted the best for others in society. And but my biggest legacy when it comes down to it is always, I always think of what example, how did I help my kids to be what they wanted to be, not what I wanted to be. So I want to thank you, Julio, for allowing me to share a little bit of space with you. I enjoyed it. So thank you. Hopefully, you can take something away from this as well. Love you.
And that's where we ended our conversation, with my dad telling me he loves me. Honestly, hearing those words after everything he shared, it made me emotional. It reminded me how deep his journey really is, from being a 16-year-old in a new country with no English to raising three kids and building a life from the ground up. Talking with him like this, not just as my dad, but as a person with his own story, taught me something. We often think we know our parents, but there's so much wisdom behind their choices that we don't even know of. I also learned that success isn't just about achievements. It's about how far you've come, what you've overcome, and who you've become along the way. So thank you for listening to this very special episode of Real Talk. If you took something away from the story, share it with someone you care about.